Welcome to Hype, episode 76. My name is Selena, and I am back this week with Pam and Merima to talk about the latest entertainment news. Hype is hypeable.com's flagship podcast, bringing you the latest entertainment news, discussion, and reviews, and opinions, and all that good stuff. You can find us on hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. You can find us on Twitter at hypeablehype. You can find us on Instagram at hypeablehype, and you can find us on email, hype@hypeable.com. So we hope you use one of those many ways to get in contact with us. Tell us what you think about the show. Tell us what you think about the latest news stories. So as always, the first thing we're going to do this week is how we hype. Tell you what we've been doing in fandom this past week. I haven't done anything because I'm boring, but I know you guys have. So Pam, why don't you go first?
So I decided I was going to get into the holiday spirit, and what better way to do that than watch a holiday-themed movie. So I decided to go see The Night Before, which is Seth Rogen's new comedy, with my brother. And I didn't laugh until I cried, which is what I was hoping for, but I did cry and I did laugh at different parts of the film, so you know there is that. And yeah, it was just a really fun like bro comedy, which I tend to like because I'm amused by silly things. And aside from Seth Rogen, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is in it, and Anthony Mackie is in it, and Alana Glazer has an awesome cameo in it. She's from Broad City, and if you guys don't know what that is, you should just go watch that because it's really, really great. And I know Merima will agree with me. And yeah, it was just really good. If you're a fan of holiday movies, like they do some like little nods to different like, you know, iconic films from the past, you know, 20 or so years. So it's really, really nice. Yeah.
Anthony Mackie is just in everything these days, isn't he?
He is.
Like, no matter the movie, he's really good at comedy.
Like, he's kind of like a wise ass in, I guess, the Marvel universe anyway, but he's like a little bit more serious. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, I forget that he actually does really good comedy sometimes.
Mm. Cool.
He holds his own for sure.
I really enjoy Seth Rogen comedies. I don't know what it is. It's like, yeah, not specifically him, but like everything he's done, like that End of the World movie and the like the last year's
The Interview.
The Interview. Yeah. When we all finally got to watch it and that drama ended. Like, I don't know. I like it.
Yeah, you'll like this then.
Yeah.
It's definitely along the same veins.
Cool. And what about you, Merima? You have enough for all of us.
Well, I wasn't on last week, so I feel like, first of all, I need to catch up on the Adele excitement. I have been listening to that. You know what? It's been really tough for me because I had to stop listening to Hamilton to listen to Adele, and, like, I was just really confused. Like, my apartment did not sound like, I don't know, some, like, hip-hop white girl rap group, so...
Right.
Yeah, I've been singing a lot of Adele ballads, so I think it's nice to give my neighbors a taste of like some different karaoke every so often.
You know, it's my ambition to be able to listen to two things at once and be able to pay attention to both. That would also make editing the show a lot more fun.
Yeah, I would just instinctively start singing Adele, and then in the breaks between her lines, because hers is a little slower, I would just go back and start singing along with Hamilton, which would be, I don't know, interesting. I mean, there's a great mashup in that, maybe.
Yeah, Adamilton.
Oh, I like it. So anyway, I have been absolutely loving the album. As I have said before, I just think Adele is the most fantastic singer and could really sing anything, and I would be on board with it, but... the album is so beautiful and so well written, and the songs are so great, and I can't pick a favorite because every time I listen it's something different. So yeah, that's been on repeat in the last week or so, which has been great. And then I watched a couple of movies actually in the last few nights, which
brand new movies.
I watched some breaking premiere. No, they were just things that I caught on like those really bad TV stations that you're like, oh, it's like 10:30. I want to watch something. Oh, this movie's on. So I watched Catching Fire actually. And it was so interesting because I have the DVD, and isn't that weird how you can look at your own movies and be like, I have nothing to watch. And then a movie that you already own comes on TV and you're like, oh,
yeah.
Drop everything.
It's weird, isn't it? Is that live?
It's a weird
feeling.
Yeah, and I don't know. But anyway, I had that feeling, and also Catching Fire is just so fantastic. But I really forgot that it was, like, really sad and really painful to watch at times. And so I was just sitting alone feeling sad about life and thinking,
and Mags.
Yeah, and oh god, the Mags scene. Mm,
that's the death is the worst death I think they've ever done. It's worse than Rue. It's horrible.
I totally agree. I completely agree. But I just forgot, like, I obviously talk a big game about how great I think the Hunger Games films are, but like Catching Fire is a damn masterpiece of a movie.
I agree.
Outside of adaptation or anything. It's so good. It's just so good.
It's underrated. Nice kind of... I really like it.
Yeah. Which is really funny because I was going to say, it's just really funny because somebody was asking me to rate like all of them, like all the Hunger Games movies now that they're all out, like from like my favorite to like least favorite. And I put Catching Fire at like number two and they were like, why? And I was like, why not? Like, clearly you were watching the same movie I was. So I feel like I'm vindicated now because you guys agree.
Mm.
Well, what was number one?
I said probably the last one. I actually really enjoyed it.
Oh, nice. I love that. It's just so well done. Anyway, and then, you know, after that masterpiece, I thought, hey, how can I improve on this? What can I watch that could possibly top Catching Fire? And then the Buffy movie was on.
Of course.
Which I haven't seen in, like, I don't know, 10 years maybe. And, God, I just forgot how bad it was.
This movie is one of my favorite movies of all time because it's so tragically terrible and it's just so funny.
I
and they totally commit to the silliness to the point of complete, like, absurdity where you just think these actors have been standing in front of a camera saying and doing these things for money.
Like, there's a part in that movie which, I mean, I don't care if I spoil it, it came out like in the 90s, but there's a part of the movie where the villain of the piece like introduces himself with a violin solo. Like, that's a thing that actually happens in the movie. And you're like, how is this real?
And how did this spawn one of the best TV shows of all time? That's like the mystery.
I know. Well, what's funny is you can watch it and you can see actually a lot of like what ended up going into Buffy season one from it, you know, even like some of the visual things like her in the white dress at the dance and, you know, all of that stuff. And oh, the fashion is like the exact same.
The fashion
is like just as bad as it was, which is really funny. But then Hilary Swank's in it.
I know, and, like, and Luke Perry.
It's just so random. Yeah, and
President Snow.
President Snow is the watcher, which just, I had just forgotten. And I was just watching it and was like, I completely forgot this movie. I mean, he's dressed as Indiana Jones. Like, he has the most Indiana Jones outfit on. It's President Snow as Indiana Jones pretending to be Giles. Like, it's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And her superpowers are like, her period is her superpower. Yeah. And it's like, it's so awkward and terrible. But you know, this is a good time for all our listeners at home to maybe go and check out the Buffy movie. I would say. Wouldn't you agree?
Tell me why.
Okay, I will. Because basically, we at Hype have decided we've gotten all inspired by the Buffy movie and maybe something else to record our Buffy special this week. Oh my god, I hear the audience cheering for joy because you're all Buffy fans, of course. And if you're not, you should be. We're all Buffy, you're huge Buffy fans. And me and Merrima will be on it. Unfortunately, Pam won't be on it, which is so sad. Because, yeah, we all love Buffy and it's the best show in the world. And we just learned via Twitter that we are allowed to say this now. The secrecy is over. If you know Hypeable, you might also know one of our fellow podcasts, Rewatchable, which goes back and rewatches old shows. We've had a lot of the hosts on. We recently had almost all of them on for our Hamilton special with Merrima. They have decided that the next show they're going to do is Buffy. And I'm going to be on that, Rewatchable, and Merrima's going to guest on Rewatchable for the Buffy rewatch. Seven seasons of going back, and we're going to be rewatching it. New people are going to discover it, so it's going to be spoiler-free. And we're going to see how they feel about the show as they watch it for the first time. And we're all going to, you know, I actually rewatched it earlier this year with my family, so it's like all very fresh in my memory, and it's definitely my favorite show of all time. So I'm just, this is going to be fun. And we really hope that you guys are going to join us on that. And definitely check out the special on this weekend to see, get a taste of what that's all going to be like. I'm excited.
I feel like at the end of when you do Rewatchable, you should do like a DVD commentary for the Buffy movie or something.
Oh God, yes.
Like as a treat.
In like 5 years when we're done with seven seasons.
Done in 25 years. because they think, like, I don't know, probably, I mean, I'm guessing you do like more than one episode, rewatchable episode, because otherwise you'd be there forever.
So, but Sleep
will be like, no, we're going scene by scene.
Yes.
One season per year.
And like every couple of episodes, we have to have just a roundup episode of everything that's happened so far. And how do we feel about the characters now? Where do we think they're going to go?
You would totally do that.
Yeah. 100%. I would do that. I absolutely would do that. You know, I'm super excited. Pam, I know that you're not going to be on the special. So do you want to say, like, what do you love most about Buffy right now?
God, I don't know. I mean, like, it's just one of those shows that I remember just, like, being so excited to watch when I would go home. It's, like, right up there with Dawson's Creek for me because I watched all that bad, crappy teen comedy. But I just loved that, like, Buffy for me was like one of the only shows that I was watching at the time where like there was a girl that was actually kicking butt on there. And I think that that's so awesome, especially, you know, I think I was about like maybe like 12 or 13 when I was watching it. So I always thought like even back then that it was just like such a cool role model to have on TV. It's just like this girl takes like no nonsense and she's out there like kicking ass and taking names. And yeah, it's just like a pop culture icon touchstone. And if you haven't watched it, there's really no reason not to, because like all the seasons are on Netflix and it's a really good show to binge. And even though it's a little bit outdated, I think that everybody can still enjoy it.
The characters hold up and their motivations hold up. And that's like the most important thing when you watch a show. You're like, well, this, what they do in episode one, does that lead up to what they do like five seasons later? And it does. So like, you know, special effects, that doesn't really matter because the characterization is really good, I think.
Exactly. Yeah, and the fashion is on point.
Yeah, I know. God.
Platforms.
I take all my cues from Willow.
The spaghetti strap dresses.
Oh, the spaghetti strap crop top. Oh, my God.
Yes, everything.
Cordelia Chase is where it's at.
Like, yes.
Oh, everything's amazing.
100%. No, this is going to be really fun. I'm really looking forward to hearing you on Rewatchable, Selena, because you can talk about Buffy forever.
And just imagine, like, if one of them doesn't like it, like, what are we going to do? Like, I'm just going to explode.
I'm just going to spend the whole episode
explaining why.
Why don't you like, did you not like this? Did you not like that? Maybe if you thought about it this way, you would like a little bit more. You should go back and rewatch it and think about it.
Rewatchable.
I really love it.
Yeah, that's 100%. Versus my approach would be like, do I know how to mute this person? You know, like,
it's true.
No,
it'll be
great. I am a little curious how it will kind of hold up in the wake of, you know, modern tastes on Joss Whedon, I guess.
Right.
You know, like, I'm not the hugest Joss Whedon fan just thanks to his work on Marvel, but I still love Buffy like as a separate thing.
And so also because there's so many shows,
I worry that people will kind of let that maybe taint.
I think it's funny because he's done so much that like hasn't been necessarily bad, so it would just be a shame for some, like, but I'm sure that there has to be at least one person for whom like this will be a first Whedon show, unless they've done like Firefly before or anything like that. But I mean, there has to be at least one person that's never seen, like, you know. Which would, because it's like completely different. Like, you can't really, like, I think you can't really compare like a Joss Whedon show to, you know, something like Marvel.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree, because he got to design it from bottom up. You know, he got to, because I've written a lot about how Marvel, you know, they're big on compromise. You know what I mean? And the visions sometimes get lost in the shuffle. But this is Joss Whedon's thing, and I think, and also he was at a different time in his life. There were other people involved. He was, you know, spitballing with a different set of people. Like, he had all those amazing writers like Jane Espenson and David Fury and all those people. So, God, we're already doing the special. See, this is just a taste of what you can expect, guys.
Yeah.
But I am curious though, because like you said, like there's so many shows now that have been influenced by Buffy, and it might seem to the newbies that Buffy is the one ripping them off when Buffy really inspired pretty much everything that's on TV now. And I also think it's so funny that we have now, we're going to get into this when in the news, we have shows like Jessica Jones and Supergirl, and people are like, this is 20 years after Buffy, mind. And people are going, oh yeah, it's so cool. Like, oh, there are actually strong female characters on TV. It's groundbreaking. And I'm just over here like, hello.
It's a resurgence. You're
I know.
Because at the time, like, even when Buffy, like a little bit after Buffy, you had like you had Alias.
You had Xena,
what's it called?
Dark Angel.
Dark Angel.
My favorite show.
And all that stuff. Like, it was all there. It's just a matter of what you were watching and what you weren't. So,
yeah. I think it's true.
More of that.
Exactly. We're going to get into this. Yes. And on Saturday, as I said, we're recording the special. So if you have any comments for us, please write in. I'm sure you do, because I know a lot of you guys are Buffy fans. I've been chatting with you guys on Twitter about doing a special for ages. So it's finally happening. And the Rewatchable girls are coming on and they have a lot to say, too. So get ready for a 5-hour show, basically.
Yeah, can't wait. We'll still be recording this time next week.
Probably, yeah. But so let's move into the news. We have we have 10 stories for you this week, so quite a lot to get through. And the first one is pretty surprising and amazing, especially if your name is Pam, because you're a fan of both of these things.
I am. This is like the best story that's come out this week. I know we're only on Tuesday, so that is a lofty, statement. But I really think it's going to be hard to top this one. If you're a fan of Hamilton, this is going to excite you. And if you're a fan of Star Wars, it's going to excite you, because apparently Lin-Manuel Miranda has written a new Cantina song for Force Awakens, which
is my God.
Crazy. And like, the best part about this, you guys, is that apparently J.J. Abrams, who of course is directing the next installment in the Star Wars saga, was at a Hamilton production. He just went to see the play, and like Lin-Manuel Miranda was probably like, this is my time, and he approached him at intermission and was like, hey, like, who's writing your Cantina song? I would love to write a new Cantina song for you. Uh-huh. And as luck would have it, John Williams was like, I'm not writing a new Cantina song. So J.J. Abrams was like, sure, you can do that, we would love that. So apparently, you know, he kind of turned it down pretty quickly. J.J. Abrams actually revealed this information on Jimmy Fallon, and then Lin-Manuel Miranda tweeted, said, We worked on it between 6 p.m. and 7:30 on two show days for the past 2 months. J.J. is the best. Can't wait to see. And then later, Abrams revealed to EW that the song is going to take place conveniently at a tavern. So, you know, Cantina, tavern, same difference. Mm-hmm. And it's actually going to take place on the planet of Takodana, where the alien pirate Maz Kanata, who is voiced by Lupita Nyong'o, she also did some motion capture for this character, is kind of like the barkeep. So that's going to be really exciting. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that's excited to hear this.
I'm the first one, so iconic. Yes.
Like, the original Cantina song, I feel like even if you don't, like, you've never seen Star Wars, you probably would recognize that little riff.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because it is like that can, like, everything in Star Wars, it's, everything is iconic in Star Wars. And that Cantina song has sort of defined the tone of that movie. And it's so funny, first of all, that he should that he should have that thought, like, oh, that's the music I really want to design, is the Cantina song. And it's also so funny that they were just like, yeah, go for it. And mm-hmm. he did it. And I mean, I'm still, you know, ashamed in my little hole. I still haven't watched listened to Hamilton. But I know it's amazing. I know I'm going to love it. So I'm excited, you know.
So when you do, Selena, it's going to be great, because then you could go search the hashtag #ForceForHam, which started trending very quickly after this news broke. And just the way that some of the Hamilton lyrics line up with some of these pivotal points in Star Wars are just amazing. Oh, we've got some examples on hypeable.com if you guys need a good, like, array of what people are doing here.
All right.
But it's amazing. There's a really good one. Oh, the Call Me Son One More Time is just...
I saw that one. Yeah. That's funny.
That one's good. That's good. I like You Strike Me as a Woman Who Has Never Been Satisfied. I feel like that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I also like, you can marry a sister, your rich son. Is that a question of if or which one?
Yeah, that's funny.
So anyway, if you want a little highlight of the creativity that was put forth by fans of both fandoms, then you should definitely head over to hypeable.com and check those out.
All right. So in the Cantina scene of Star Wars, as you all know, if you're a Star Wars fan, a lot of important things happened. I have a question for you guys. Three words. It's pretty much your answer will tell the listeners everything they need to know about you, so no pressure. Who shot first?
Han Solo he shot first.
Han shot first.
Yes, that is correct. Han shot first. Everyone knows. There might be a few George Lucas apologists out there. You never know. So everyone, even if you're not a Star Wars fan, this should not be new information to you. George Lucas has done a lot over the years to erase the original cuts of and original versions of Star Wars, which he has always said are like drafts of the story as he imagined it. And as we know from the prequels, when George Lucas is handed a green screen, things aren't going to go very well. So he's basically tried to remake the originals and put in like CGI creatures and changed cuts and tried to update the visual effects. And Star Wars fans hate this because they're like, that's not our Star Wars. It's not the original Star Wars. And one of the hugest things that he changed was that he made in the cantina scene, Han Solo is confronting this alien called Greedo, and they're like negotiating, and Han shoots him, and then Greedo returns fire, and then it ends like by Greedo dying. And George Lucas reversed this to make Greedo shoot first, and fans hate this because they insist that Han shot first, and George Lucas is still defending it. He recently came out in a new interview and said that he still thinks that Greedo needs to shoot first, because otherwise Han isn't that traditional hero type that you're expected to see. He said, "I was thinking mythologically, should he be a cowboy? Should he be John Wayne?" And I said, "Yeah, he should be John Wayne." And when you're John Wayne, you don't shoot people first. You let them have the first shot. It's a mythological reality that we hope our society pays attention to. And people are like, "That's bullshit. Like, please, this is space."
Just be a hero and shoot first.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
And that's what all the fans.
He's a completely flawed hero. This is like ridiculous. Somebody needs to just shh.
No. Yes, because that's not Han Solo.
He just comes out with he's like J.K. Rowling, but 10
yes,
floors.
Yeah. This is basically Harry and Hermione should have ended up together.
Ugh.
I said on Twitter that the next we're gonna get J.R.R. Tolkien rising from his grave and saying that he wished he'd made Legolas the ring bearer. And
yeah, Legolas could have shot an arrow down. Like, seriously,
It would have been so much easier.
Who needs a story?
Exactly.
Yeah,
but yeah, so this is dumb.
George Lucas, he must kind of get off on pissing people off like this, because the stuff that he, like, every interview that he's done in, I don't know, the last many years, but certainly now that there's the hype for the new film, everything he says just makes everyone furious. Like, he must know that as he's saying it. Like, he can't be that deluded to think that people go like, "Oh yeah, he's making a great point." You know,
no.
"Oh yeah, he's you know, I was pretty sure that Han shot first, but he's convinced me." Like, what?
It's just so odd that, like, I always thought that was odd. Like, even seeing the remastered versions, like, when they, because you could see them in theaters when they came out again. And I just remember my brother and I both being like, wait, this is not something that happened. I just think it's so odd that he changed it. He, like, felt so strongly about it that he felt the need to physically change it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and basically alter Han Solo's character and try to make him more like cliche and traditional, as opposed to like the groundbreaking person, like hero that he was, who wasn't like a good person but still could be a good person,
right?
You know,
right?
Yeah,
that's why when Leia says "I love you," he says "I know." He doesn't say "I
know."
Like,
yeah, exactly,
funny.
Exactly. It would be really funny if he ADR'd in "I love you too." The fans would riot. It would be amazing.
That was more sensitive.
Yeah. John Wayne would have said "I love you too."
Yeah. Yeah, John Wayne would have cried a bit. So.
Yeah. The CGI in a little tear.
He just the next time, like the next cut he releases, it's just John Wayne instead.
I know.
Like, he just makes Harrison Ford. That would be great.
Don't give him ideas. You know,
wow.
He listens.
We'll wait for that coming to a cinema near you.
Yes.
Okay, also coming to a movie, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. And we got a new trailer. Well, there's going to be a new trailer released, like, right after we record, as
probably.
Always. But there was a teaser for it. And I hate it because Wonder Woman isn't in it. So why should I even waste my time?
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's a very small excerpt of a scene where basically Batman is chained up and Superman comes in and he looks pissed and he rips off the mask. And end scene. I kind of got, like, like 50 Shades of Grey.
That's what Danya said too. Yeah, I don't know if she texted you the same thing. I was like woken up to a text from Danya going 50 Shades of Batman, and I was like, what?
Oh, wow. No, well, that just, I didn't get that. So that just proves that she and I like have a constant mind meld, which is pretty accurate about friendship. But yeah, it was just, I don't know. I thought it was
it was intense
weird.
In all the wrong ways.
Right.
Like, it was weird.
Kind of, you're like, all right, and now they're going to make out? Like, what? Now?
I mean, sure. But it was a little weird.
Yeah. So
they'd be like, we'll show Marvel.
Yeah. People are thinking that maybe this is a scene from like a nightmare sequence, which is why the studio is feeling comfortable about kind of spoiling it, because otherwise it would be a pretty big moment in the film to show in a teaser trailer.
Mm.
So yeah, I don't know if you guys are like, are you guys excited for Batman vs. Superman? I don't really know where you stand on this, other than obviously Team Wonder Woman, where everyone stands.
I actually stand on Team Superman because...
No.
Henry Cavill, I'm sorry.
Wrong answer.
I'm shallow person. No, I actually, I've always kind of enjoyed Superman, but I think it's like the journalist like aspect. I don't know. Like, I was
you identify
I
with
and I knew what Clark I wanted Kent. To do. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'll go see it, but I'm still waiting to be like wowed. I don't think anything has particularly wowed me yet about this, but I'll go see it, you know, when it comes out anyway.
I was kind of wowed by the first trailer that they released, which was the trailer they released at Comic-Con, because I remember screaming in our hotel room about Wonder Woman.
Yes, I do remember that.
until then I was kind of I still think it's a terrible name and you know, whatever, but until then I was like, oh, it's not gonna be like, oh, it's gonna be. Then I watched the trailer and was like, oh, that's like really good. And then I watched this trailer and was like, no, I'm back to thinking that they don't know what they're doing with this property, because this is so weird. But I'll judge when, you know, the full trailer premieres, which is gonna be on Jimmy Kimmel as well.
He's getting everything.
He
got the Star Wars special too.
Who does he? Yeah. Well, obviously he knows everybody, but like how?
I don't know.
I didn't know that people watch Jimmy Kimmel. So I am confused about this, because I only know people who watch Jimmy Fallon.
I know.
So like, is it a typo?
Jimmy Kimmel has the links to the big, like he, you know, he's friendly with J.J. Abrams, and he's like, he does all the Marvel stuff
he
too.
He is also the... Pretty much, well, barring James Corden, who is relatively new, but he's like pretty much one of the only talk shows in LA left still, because when the Tonight Show got handed over, they moved it back to New York. So
it's geography.
That has something to do with it. Yeah.
Oh, Pam, you're so inside baseball. Yeah. I love it.
Thank you. Anyway, are we ready to move on to the next story?
Yep.
Cool. So we talked a little bit about Catching Fire earlier. That's obviously Jennifer Lawrence's last Hunger Games movie. She's got Joy coming out in December. But after that, she's actually heading over to the director's chair, which should be an interesting move for her and an interesting thing for us to watch, too. So she actually was named Entertainer of the Year by EW. And in the article, she said she wanted to try her hand at directing, and she's already signed on to direct her first project. And she says it's called Project Delirium, and it's based on an article about mental warfare in the 60s. She describes it as like an acid experiment gone terribly wrong. And apparently she's wanted to direct since she was 16. So, you know, now she feels like she's ready, because she's been a part of a lot of different film projects. And I don't know what you guys think, but it sounds interesting, you know, as a movie. It's interesting that she chose to go with something of this dark subject matter, but I don't know. I'll be interested to see what she does with it. What do you guys think?
Interesting choice.
Yeah, and it's times like these that I like to just remind myself that Jennifer Lawrence is only 1 year older than me, and look how much we've both achieved. Oh, wait.
No, why you do this to us?
Yeah. I was just like, oh, not again. No, I don't know.
But does she have a podcast? I'm just going to ask.
Right. Has she been on Hype? I don't think so.
No.
She's been begging to be on the Buffy special, but we're at full capacity. I don't know. It's kind of hard to judge these things because, like, obviously we've never seen her direct anything.
Yeah.
But I always really enjoy, like, her perspective when she does kind of longer interviews and things. So I feel like she has, you know, good insights on on things. So like, hopefully that will come through. I really want to read this article now that this was based on, which I see you have linked to.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's funny you mentioned that because it is linked on hypeable.com in this story. So if you guys are interested in reading that, it's from 2012. So go over there and check it out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess as an antidote to that, let's talk about my new favorite thing of all time, the Civil War trailer. I haven't talked about it yet. Hey, guys, remember the Civil War trailer? Remember when that came out? That was awesome. So I know you guys did a live watch of it last week.
We
could not do that.
Did.
I have no control. I had watched it like 14 times by the time you had done that. So that was cool. But what has come out since then is this really fantastic interview with the Russo brothers, who obviously are directing Civil War and who are kind of taking over from Joss Whedon in like directing the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe. So it's really interesting to get their opinion.
And after seeing this trailer, I am 110% on board with it. I liked them before, but now I'm like, oh, they get it.
I was definitely with them from Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's nice to know it's not a fluke, I guess. So Empire did this really fun article where they basically did like a trailer recap where they broke down every scene, but then they also got the Russo brothers to like join in with them. And it's just, I mean, it's just really cool. It's like so nerdy and so fun to hear them talk all about the characters. Basically, it's amazing. We have some highlights on hypeable.com, and then we've linked to the full article, which I would recommend that you read because it's just so good. And I can't even choose my favorite aspects of it. I guess, you know, they talk a lot about, obviously, the character of Captain America and about Bucky. And it seems like they really understand that relationship and they're really interested in Civil War kind of testing Steve's, like, character. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of see in Winter Soldier what it was like when he was up against, like, you know, kind of the man, but the man had been infiltrated by the enemy. But this time it's like him against, you know, the government, as it were. And it's like, how does that change someone who is basically, you know, created to be like a tool of said government? And and all of the stuff about Bucky is just amazing. And then also, you know, there's a lot about Iron Man, about Tony. And I obviously have no love for Iron Man / Tony because I'm all about Team Cap. But, you know, it was interesting to kind of get their perspective on his character and the reason that they think he is doing what he's doing in Civil War, because I think it gives you a good insight into, like, you know, obviously if they're going to go ahead and direct, like, the Avengers movies after this, then they're going to be dealing with more than just Cap. And so it's nice to know that they're already thinking about all of these characters as individuals. They talk about Black Widow as well and about Falcon, and it's just so good.
So good. One of the best bits to come out of that was their reveal that Steve is holding on to that helicopter for like a really important reason. It's like the mother lifting a car to save her child moment. And it's so interesting to speculate because everyone's assuming if the theme of the trailer is anything to go by, Bucky is in that helicopter. But it's also fun, like, what else might be in that helicopter? If anything else could make him have that reaction, like, could it be Sam or Natasha? Could it be like Peggy's ashes or something like that? Like, or is it like a drugged out Bucky? That seems to be the most logical. So probably what we're all hoping for too.
Yeah,
because as so many people have pointed out with so many great little text posts, that whatever, like, you want these movies to be, every single Captain America movie has been, what is Steve willing to do for Bucky? You know what I mean? Like, that has defined his actions
story.
And every... Yeah, exactly. It is. It is a three-part love story, like, in whatever love that is, you know? And I feel like I'm very, very excited to see how they take that in this movie, because movies are always better when they're personal like that.
Right. And they also, I mean, I'm sure you guys talked about this last week, but, like, they've also gone about as far as they can say, yeah, it's like a love story without being able to say, yeah, it's like obviously a love story. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if it was in anything else, if one of these people was a woman, then obviously we would all see it as a love story.
And that's
with the kiss and
exactly.
You know, but the fact that, you know, Marvel obviously doesn't want to go down that path. Marvel is incredibly conservative.
Not like Batman versus Superman, which is clearly leaning in that direction.
Which is clearly homoerotic and a very different film than what we're expecting. You know, it seems like the Russo brothers kind of don't give a shit.
But you know what?
You know, they basically said as much as they can say, which, you know, because it will show in the film.
But yeah, you but know, you know what? Like when we had this discussion last week, it was around this point when we realized that this is like the big screen version of Merlin.
Oh,
like so true. I know you haven't seen it like fully yet, but I'm sure you know. Things and how it ends and stuff. And we were like, this is basically the same thing. And they came out and said, they were like, yeah, it's a love story. And we were like, yeah, we knew. It's a love story. We know. That's how it went.
Sorry, what was this news for? So anyway, it's just always so nice when, like, especially because the Captain America fandom has had a little bit of a tough time at the hands of Joss Whedon, whether or not you like his films. Cap has not done very well in the Avengers films. And Winter Soldier was, like, such a fantastic and well-needed break from that. And it seems like that's going to continue into Civil War and beyond. And that's super exciting because, you know, you obviously always want your, like, favorite characters or your favorite films or whatever to be in the hands of people who feel the same as you do. And they really seem like Cap nerds themselves.
Yeah, they do.
Marvel nerds. Mm. And, you know, the fact that they did, like, this trailer breakdown kind of proves that point, I think. So, yeah, this was just so much fun to read.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to make like a Captain America, Lord of the Rings transition here, and I totally failed. More nerds of creators who are actually fans of the stuff that they do. We love those, and one of them is of course Peter Jackson. I think a few weeks ago we talked about how he was sort of regretting some of the things he did with The Hobbit and how he didn't have enough time. And I've forgiven him. I'm the forgiving type. I forgive Joss Whedon too. Just bring it on. But basically, Peter Jackson is now thinking, what's he going to do next? He's got all his Oscars and he's just sitting there polishing them all day. And he's like, well, you know, there's this show called Doctor Who. Maybe he should check that out. And he's actually a huge fan. And there was this video which basically announced that he's going to be directing an episode of Doctor Who. And it's something that he has been talked about for years and years. This episode even had Peter Capaldi come on to play the Doctor. And it was, I don't know if you guys have seen it, it was a little bit awkward, the video. It was a little weird. but it was very funny. And people are still saying, oh, well, he didn't officially announce it. But I think having Peter Capaldi pretty much sets it. And I thought it was funny. Someone said in the comments on Hypeable, but is this episode going to be split into three parts?
Oh, that's good.
Shade.
I like it. Speaking of, I know some people pointing out that the Silmarillion is like on the table in front of him. Mm-hmm. But let's be real, he's never going to make that film. So
let's get Silmaril.
Yeah. Because the Tolkien estate, unless they go broke, they're not going to sell him the rights to that. No. I adored the Lord of the Rings films and I hated the Hobbit films. So I'll have to split the difference on those. But I just pretend the Hobbit ones don't exist. And been a good approach for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, if Peter Jackson could stop making comments about them, like, I kind of made those up as I went along, like, that would be great because then I can continue to live in my bubble of delusion. But, you know, he's talked about this for so long. He's obviously such a Doctor Who fan. And I feel like this would be a really fun project because, you know, he will have to work within the limitations of like 45 minutes and this is what's going to happen. Or maybe it'll be two parts, then 90 minutes. But, you know, working within those, I think will be like a fun challenge for him. And we'll get to see something kind of different than what we usually do, where he does these huge blockbusters that take like years and years and years to make versus a TV episode. You know, I think this will be really fun. And I am not watching Doctor Who, but I would definitely check out Peter Jackson's episode, even though I will probably have no idea what is happening at that point, but that's fine.
All right. So we talked a couple episodes ago about how we're a little bit lukewarm on Supergirl, but we seem to be in the minority because the show has actually been picked up for a full season. So they've upped the episode count to 20 in total, which is good news if you've been enjoying CBS's new show. And that's really exciting because, you know, despite dipping a bit in viewership, which is kind of normal, but also, you know, it just kind of like started off on a high note. Yeah, it seems to be doing really well. And I'm actually kind of pleased about this personally because I really want Supergirl to be one of those shows that finds its stride. despite taking a little bit of time to kind of get there. So I think that ordering it for a full season will allow it to do that. And hopefully we'll all kind of end up coming back to it, enjoying it just as much as we kind of liked the first episode.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with it really. I'm glad that it's getting a chance. I think we talked about this last week or the week before, that it needs time to grow into its own. I don't know if you've been watching the latest episodes, if you think it's getting better.
You know, I kind of have done with Supergirl what I usually do with other shows that I kind of am intrigued with but get bored with.
Yeah,
is that I
me
just
too.
Like wait for them to kind of have a break, like a winter finale or like an actual season finale, and then I just binge them on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it kind of helps to have them all there and you can just kind of take your time with them in the summertime. So I think I'm going to do that with Supergirl and kind of come back to it after a while and see if I end up enjoying it more than I did
right.
the first time.
Yeah,
because like
good.
First episode was great and like I even enjoyed the second one, but after that I just kind of started dragging. And mm-hmm. I think we've talked about this before, but
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of stories left now, and this one is my favorite story of the week / the month / the year / all time. I don't know if you guys have seen the text post that has been making its way around Facebook about a quote-unquote husband and wife and their dog named Fish, and how, you know, wife Lexa went out to get a fish, came back with a dog, and husband Clark is very unhappy about this. People have been sharing it around. They have been commenting, taking sides. Have you guys seen this?
No. I saw it on Facebook, and because I don't watch the 100, I, you know, it didn't really click for me until I saw the article, and then I was like, oh.
Yeah. Because that's
a lot more sense.
Right. Because that's the thing. It's even been picked up by a lot of British tabloids and people are reporting the story. No one bothered to Google Clark and Lexa and find out that they're actually characters on the 100. And that this is like a meta text post by a fan, which is, you know, they do this character text back and forth for like a fanfic.
Those. That's so smart.
Me too. And so this one, like this is the story of how the 100 fanfic accidentally went viral. And what's so hilarious about this too is that everyone's of course assuming that Clark is a man, and it is, to be fair, kind of a manly name. And the 100 fans, luckily, because obviously it is kind of sad that people are just taking this narrative and being like marriage goals and stuff like that, assuming that it's this traditional core family. I don't know, I think it's so funny. But and the 100 fans are just taking this, they're embracing this so much. Like the Clark, the husband hashtag is the most hilarious thing if you search it on Twitter. And I saw this, one of the people involved with the show sent me a link to it and said, like, could you write something up about this? Because it's really funny. And I just, like, I was just laughing to myself for like 5 minutes just because it's so ridiculous. So this is
like
your PSA.
Story is made for you.
I know. This is like your PSA. If you see that posting around, just tell people, first of all, it's a same-sex couple. Second of all, it's not real. So,
it's, yeah, instead of all, watch The 100.
Right. Watch The 100 because it's a really good show. It's much better than a dog story, although it is a pretty cute dog story. Fun yeah. story, actually. I once named a cat Fish. Because I thought, you know, I was calling out different words to it, and then finally it responded to Fish, so I figured it was probably its name. And I knew that cat for 5 years. So I really relate to the story. Yeah. That's it. That's all I got. I thought it was hilarious. Watch The 100.
We've got one more TV news story for you guys. If you're a fan of Outlander and you've been feeling the droughtlander, as it were, because we have no new content, you know, now you can rest easy because we've got our first teaser trailer for season 2. And oh my God, you guys, it looks so good. If you've read the books, then there's some stuff in here that is really going to excite you. And if you haven't, you're still going to be excited because season 2 picks up right where we left off in season 1. And Jamie and Claire are in a race against time to stop, you know, this horrific event from happening. And they're going to start the season off in France. So we're going to get to see 18th century France, which is really exciting. And then they're going to head back over to Scotland. So it looks like it's going to be a really good season. And I'm so excited for spring to get here because Outlander is one of my favorite shows of last season. And I just need more Jamie and Claire in my life. That's all I have to say about that.
And final story. It's your favorite topic.
My favorite topic, hashtag Snape is the worst, pass it on. Yeah, so J.K. Rowling did what J.K. Rowling does best and was on Twitter this week. And I guess, you know, she got sick of, like, crushing our dreams with Harry, Hermione, and, like, answering questions about minor characters. So she thought, you know what? Let's talk about Snape again. Let's stir up that controversy. So she started answering some fan questions, and basically she said Snape is good and bad, question mark, and that he's all gray. I guess the most definitive bit is Snape is all gray. You can't make him a saint. He was vindictive and bullying. You can't make him a devil. He died to save the wizarding world. To which I go, well, we obviously have not met J.K. Rowling, because I definitely can make him the devil. And I like what someone said to him, which was like, well, you can, because he bullied small children and died for his obsession with Lily. So,
right.
Yeah, I feel like that's accurate. You know, so obviously, like, this is just, you know, it's an interesting question of, like, you can read the books how you want, and then the author says, well, no, this is how it is. Like, do you have to take that on board? Because I don't think so.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is fine. This is J.K. Rowling's perspective on Snape. But, you know, if this isn't what you got from the book, then I feel like you stick with what you wanted. But she also explained maybe why Harry gave his child, like, the worst name of all time and was like, yeah, basically suits Harry's personality though, doesn't it? And we were like, that is true. Harry was a dumb. So
that is true. That's a good point. I mean, this is how I feel about this. I see what she's saying, but I disagree, because it's like, you can say things, and I feel like this happens a lot with authors in general, and this is what happens when you give your this is George Lucas. I mean, it's not the same, but it's, you know, you give your text to the world and you can't take it back. You can't, like, luckily J.K. Rowling can't go back and make new additions to the books where, like, it, I don't know, Harry Expelliarmus first or whatever. Like, you can't do that, but it's the same thing. Like, you have given your text to your audience, and however they take your characters, I mean, too bad. If you intend, I know there's a lot of people who love Snape and that's great, but if you intended for your character to be seen as this hero, and well, people do, but like, if you see this character as a hero and most people say, you know what, he was actually a super bad guy, you can't go and say, oh well, he wasn't because of this, because we have to. We read the books, and this is the feeling we got from it. And this is like, it's like in real life too. Like, your actions speak louder than your words. We're judging Snape based on what he did in the books, which was he was horrible to children. And so whatever else he did, whoever he loved, like, that's beside the point in what he did to those children, especially all of those children who had nothing to do with Harry, like Neville. You know,
but even
gross,
irrelevant.
Well, even if it had just been Harry, though, it's just like, you're a grown man taking out your aggression on another grown man on that grown man's kid. Like, how wrong is that?
Right. And unfortunately, through history, there are lots of precedents of, you know, the whole blood thing determines who you are. But that's just it. Is that she is? Yeah. That's what she, you know. You can't undo that with words, but I get what she's saying. I do. I just don't think it holds that much weight compared to what is canon in the books.
Yeah, that's true. I totally agree. And I feel like, you know, this is a whole other discussion, but like, there's a difference between her saying, like, answering a question like, what was, you know, so and so's job after Hogwarts, and she says, like, oh, they were a potion maker, and you're like, cool, that's like, that's part of the canon now. You know, and you don't have to know it, like, that's fine. But there's a difference between that and like her interpretation of something, you know, like, which is why I just want this encyclopedia, because, you know, I want to know what she meant with all of these things, but I don't have to accept it, because intent doesn't change the impact.
Exactly. You know,
whatever she intended for Snape to be, what he is what we read in the books. And, you know, she can write as many like Twitter essays as she wants. And I like that she has all of these thoughts about her characters, like, that's fantastic. But I don't think just because J.K. Rowling says, oh well, Snape's all gray and Snape's, you know, got a bit of a hero in him, like, I have to go, oh, I guess I have changed my mind that of what I've thought about Snape the last like 10 years of my life. Like, perhaps not. But the other fun part of this story was that one of our own writers, actually, Natalie, tweeted at J.K. Rowling and chosen.
She was the chosen one.
So Andrew has previously been chosen, but J.K. Rowling chose Natalie, who said she would like to see her do one of these about Dumbledore. And J.K. Rowling said, ah, now that wouldn't be an essay. That would be a week-long residential course.
Yes, so, please.
Yeah. Write the encyclopedia.
I know.
You just have all the space in the world.
That's true. Just one volume per character, right?
just one. That's not asking too much.
Amazing. Yeah. So anyway, there's your, we know we kind of always need a little bit of Harry Potter news on hype. So that's it for this week.
Yeah, that's good. And that's the end of the news. So perfect. Moving on now to TV show of the week. I have nothing, again, because I'm so lame. But you guys do. So why don't you start, Pam?
Sure. So last Sunday, so like 2 days ago, we're recording on Tuesday, was the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead, which is always a dark day in The Walking Dead fandom because we have to wait until like Valentine's Day to get new episodes. And of course, stuff kind of hit the fan and everything kind of came to a head with the community they're living in right now and like the zombies coming in. And it's just, sorry, that's probably like a spoiler. It's not that bad. Okay, anyway, so the point is that there was a lot that happened, but a lot that was left really unresolved. And there were a lot of characters that were missing in this episode, which is really annoying because now we don't know what's really going on with them until the show comes back in February. And then they also teased the new Big Bad, which is going to be played by Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
I love him.
I love him, too. I was just telling somebody that I find him strangely attractive, and I don't know why.
It's not like, strangely. He's very attractive.
See, okay. I always thought I was the only one.
So no. Watch Supernatural.
That's what somebody, mm-hmm. This is what this person said. They were like, oh, if you love Jeffrey Dean Morgan, you gotta watch Supernatural.
You gotta. You'll like it.
Winchester.
Yeah.
One day. Anyway, yeah. So there's a lot that happened, but also a lot that was left unresolved, which kind of left me feeling very unsatisfied. So I enjoyed it, but I also did not like this episode, and I just need it to be February so I can know what happens. And that's all I have for TV show of the week.
Awesome.
Well, I watched Jessica Jones. Mm-hmm. So
have you watched it all?
About that. For the next 2 hours. Yeah, I finally finished it. I watched like the 10 episodes and then I had to stop. And then I finally finished it. I won't spoil it, so don't worry if you haven't seen it. Basically, it's amazing. I know I've talked a lot on hype about how much I loved Daredevil, and I think I forced a lot of you guys to, you know, try it or watch it. Or at least that was my intent, was to force people into it. Jessica Jones is so different, but so, so good. And it's so clear that it is created by a woman. Like, it's so clear that there is obviously a very strong female presence in the writing room. It's so clear that Marvel didn't interfere because it's kind of incredible, like, how far they go with what they address and what they talk about. Obviously, Jessica as a character is a victim of sexual abuse and rape. And a lot of the show is about her kind of coming to terms with that because she has like post-traumatic stress and she has to associate with her rapist again. And, you know, the fact that it's a Marvel show just like continued to astound me as I was watching this. And I thought, oh, they're not going to go that far. Like, they're not going to go there. And then they did. And then the next episode, they went further. And it was just so incredible. And the acting is amazing. And it's so beautifully shot. Like, you know, same as Daredevil, the production value on these Netflix shows is just absolutely to die for. And I think they just cast it so well. And, oh, it was just so good. I can't think of a single thing I didn't like about this, which is quite rare for me. So...
To be honest, though, Marvel TV is run by a different guy. You know, it's not Kevin Feige calling all the shots, which might make a bit of a difference.
Well, it is, but this was kind of in a whole other league, you know, to like being like, whoa, Agent Carter is like super feminist and, oh, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has like lots of awesome diversity and stuff. Like, this was just so outrageously different from anything that they have done. And, you know, with like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter and stuff, that like the events of the films do impact on the TV series, which leaves it open for there to be crossover the other way, you know? Mm-hmm. So like when they're creating these TV shows, like there has to be a discussion at some point at a high up level about like what's going to happen And, you know, what it's kind of going to deal with just broadly, because, you know, it's all in the same world. And like, that's kind of their thing, that they make it all happen in the same world. And, you know, it gives them all these options for like crossovers and stuff in the future. So at some point they greenlit it, you know, which is just great. I mean, it doesn't make up for the rest of the whatever that they pull. But you just watch a show like Jessica Jones and realize like we are really lacking shows like this with such a clear voice, with such a feminist, like pro woman voice. It's so sensitive in what it deals with, but it's also incredibly upfront. You know, often they kind of try and skate around the issue and you kind of can read between the lines. Like, no, they just call it what it is. And that's kind of groundbreaking in itself. And I really feel like I need to rewatch it, but I'm actually thinking I'm rewatch Daredevil and like see how it compares now to Jessica Jones, now that I've seen another one. And also like, I need a little break because it's really, really intense viewing. It's, you know, there are some jokes and stuff in there, but it's pretty full on. Like Daredevil is a little easier to get through, even though it's more violent. So bear that in mind if you're watching. But if you haven't seen it, I would definitely recommend people check it out, but just be aware, like it does deal with quite serious subject matter, so you should know that going into it.
Okay, good review. Have you guys done your special yet?
So funny story. Yeah, we recorded the Jessica Jones special, which was when I had only seen the first 10 episodes, and then something happened with like the post production, and the episode is now lost, so they recorded another one, but I couldn't do it.
Oh.
So you'll never ever know. This is a hype exclusive. What I thought of Jessica Jones, because it's not on any other podcast,
or
it's floating around in the ether somewhere. So.
That's horrible.
Well, yes, such is life. So maybe it was for the best, because I spent a lot of the episode being like, I hope that this and this and this doesn't happen in the finale, or like, I hope that this happens and then it didn't happen. So that's fine. Now no one will know, and I can just pretend that I predicted it from the start, which was my master plan.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so I think they've recorded. So if you want to hear more about Jessica Jones, you should check out Hero Hype on hyperbole.com, and they should have their Jessica Jones episode up very soon, if it's not up already by the time this is online.
All right, perfect. So we are going to wrap up the show now with Hot on Hyperbole and listener feedback. Do you want to take us through the hottest stories on Hyperbole this week?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Marvel.
Over to Merima.
back to me for Marvel. We had an interview with Jeff Loeb, actually, about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., about the mid-season finale. And this was when Mikal spoke to him at the Jessica Jones premiere. So it all ties in together.
Yes.
And she also did some really good interviews with the Jessica Jones cast, which you can check out as well if you haven't. They were really fun, and she did a really great job of that. And then while staying on Jessica Jones, we also had a really good article from Caitlin, who actually does Hero Hype. So there's another link there. Which is an opinion article about this kind of, you know, which I have seen online, this thing about like, oh, Jessica Jones is so great and now Supergirl is terrible. And she's basically saying, why not both?
Mm-hmm.
Because we can have two different types of shows in two different styles about women. It doesn't have to be just one.
Yeah. Remember like Buffy and Xena, I don't think they were competing for viewers.
Right. And, you know, it's just that whole like ridiculous argument, which, you know, applies where they go like, oh, like one TV show about a female superhero failed, therefore we can't make any more, which is like ridiculous, because how many TV shows fail every year? Like, how many pilots don't get picked up and how many shows bomb? Happens all the time. But you know, minority groups are held to a different standard, so that's obviously like always used as a justification. But it's a really, really good article about you know, why we should embrace both. You don't have to watch both, but like there's no reason why you can't enjoy both. And I think that's good, because sometimes, you know, shows like Supergirl that, like, obviously, it's an obviously lighter show than Jessica Jones. Like, it's not trying to be gritty and real the same way that Jessica Jones is. They kind of get a hard time, you know, because people go like, oh, why isn't this like Batman, basically?
Mm.
You're like, well, you know, why can't we have like The Flash? Why can't it be fun and happy sometimes?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be down all the time. So I really enjoyed that. And I definitely recommend people read that. Caitlin has her opinion comes through very strongly, and I agree with it. Therefore, it's right. Okay. So also on Hyperbole, we had a really good article about Once Upon a Time. Katie wrote this one, and it's basically about why it's like impossible to watch Once Upon a Time because of all of the characters that just appear and then disappear.
Yes, and, thank you.
The reason, yeah, I wanted to shout this out because this is actually why I stopped watching.
Me and too. Funny story,
I can't even remember that I did watch it, but then the other day, like, I have that Time Hop app,
uh-huh.
and it popped up with like a tweet that I had written, like, I don't know, 3 years ago or something about Rumpelstiltskin, and I was like, did I watch Once Upon a Time? And then I remembered that I could not keep up with all of the characters. And that was in like season two. So I can't even imagine how much worse it has become. Because they just introduce them for these arcs and they go away.
And like, I want to care about them. And then like what they do just stops mattering. And that's like, hello, what is character development?
Right. Except for like the absolute core of the cast. Yeah. It just seems like they just kind of pop up and go away. And, you know, I feel like you can do that to an extent, but not like every half season. You can't have like a whole new cast and then be like, all right, now these people don't matter. Like that's, I don't know, but it was a really good article. And it definitely, I definitely agree with that. And then, because it is that time of year, it's now December, it's, going to be Christmas time and end of the year time and holiday time over on Hypeable. So we've kicked this off with the best Christmas movies on Netflix for you to check out. So you can get started with your Christmas viewing. I know some people like to start as soon as it becomes December. Some people on our staff included in that. But we are going to have a whole lot of like end of year articles as well. So like if Christmas isn't your thing, don't worry. We'll have plenty of stuff. And then finally, for some fun, Selena wrote probably the best article of the week.
It's funny you say that because I think this is probably the worst thing I've ever done.
Well, the reason I bring this up is because mainly because I laughed at the joke,
okay.
which is an article basically of Adele memes, but also because I was really sad that it didn't include my favorite one, which I saw when Adele released 25, and there was this great one going around Tumblr that I, of course, I now can't find it, but it was basically like, you know, every other artist in the world, like. Mm-hmm. Like Taylor Swift and, you know, every other large artist being like, maybe this year I'll win a Grammy. And then it's just Adele being like, hello, it's me. And then just crying. Like, maybe this is the year that I'll win a Grammy. And then Adele's album comes out.
That's
it's like,
hilarious.
No.
See,
no,
that's the thing great. About this meme. It's one of those days when after Thanksgiving, there's absolutely no news. I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with myself? And so I was like, oh, well, I'll just put together this meme post really quickly. And I couldn't find anything, like all the funny stuff that I've seen over the weeks, like there's no real way of searching for them. So I spent like 5 hours, like that's a lie, I spent like 2 hours in this freaking post, and I was like, it wasn't like, even very good.
You're like, I've seen funny things now,
yeah,
where have they gone?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
you know,
I like these
articles. You know, we don't do a lot of them on Hypeable, but I feel like it's fun to do them every so often for like really big fandoms or really big people.
And speaking of, this isn't like a feature, but speaking of Hello, if you haven't seen it yet, please go and find it on Hypeable. It's the Civil War trailer recut to Hello. And it's, I don't know if you guys have seen it, it's the best thing ever because this guy has basically done almost nothing to the trailer and it fits exactly. It's like, Steve is like, hello. It's me. And like, you know, from the other side of the Civil War, and they're all like singing to each other basically, and all the, because it's such an emotional trailer and it's so funny. And I think I actually, I picked this up before any of the big news sites did. So I like rogue found this just because I was searching for Civil War stuff. So I was very proud of that.
It's
and people
so
really
funny.
Like it.
The best bit is at the start when it's that line, hello, it's me, and it's like, hello, and you see Bucky's face,
yeah,
and then
hello,
me, and it's like the soldiers outside being like, it's me.
Yeah. After all this time, you know, let's meet, yeah. Oh,
so
yeah,
good.
So funny.
Yeah,
it's
combining
really funny.
My two loves.
Yeah, and so making fun. Something even more beautiful.
Oh, I know. Mm. I mean, if Adele isn't on the soundtrack for Civil War, I'm just
saying, it's a missed
opportunity. Maybe she'll do the credit song.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so yeah, that's it for Hot on Hypeable. But of course, there are many more articles all the time over on hypeable.com.
Okay, cool. And we have a listener feedback to round up the show. We have a lot of comments, so we're just going to try to run through this really quickly. So I'm just going to say we go Pam, Marima, and me, and we just go down the list like that.
Awesome.
Sounds good. Let's start with Stephanie M., who said, "Hey, hi, partly because of your gushing and partly because my BFF told me I had to. I've been watching Gilmore Girls for the first time. Yay! I just finished season 2 yesterday and I'm going mad. I ship every ship. Give me Lorelai and Luke. Give me Lorelai and Christopher. I love Rory and angry Chad Michael Murray. I love Rory and angry Sam Winchester. And I love Rory and angry Peter Petrelli. Please send help and or coffee. I ranted to her about it and she told me, just wait. What have all you people gotten me into? Sorry, not sorry, Stephanie."
That's cool. Amazing. All right. We have a comment from Kate/Killy. "Oh man, I had a feeling I'd get mentioned. I guess you guys were talking about it last week. I actually really like what you think of that video, Selena. It's sadly more about how movies are made now instead of how Peter wanted The Hobbit done. It is a rough job he had to do, but I still really enjoyed the films, even with their faults. That video is, what, 6 to 7 minutes long of an at least 30-minute documentary very early in the Battle of the Five Armies extended edition appendices, and you still got the gist."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a very good, I can't wait. I haven't picked it up yet because Kate Killy is, of course, our resident Lord of the Rings Knight Hobbit super fan, I should say. Always on hand to stick up for that trilogy, and which is good. But yeah, but I haven't gotten the extended edition for the last Hobbit movie yet, and I actually really enjoy those regardless of how I feel about the movie. So I might ask for that for Christmas. Now, moving on to Twitter, our first comment comes from Carlos Franco, who said that he watched the Civil War trailer with hypeable hype. "I felt like I was right there. Thank you." That was what we wanted, for people to watch it at the same time, because I was listening back. The audio was actually a little lower than I thought it was going to be. So I hope you guys all turned on the trailer and watched it at the same time.
Sweet. So the Lady Ash also wrote to us via Twitter and they say, "Yay, new episode. And I'm usually anti-trailers, but I watched Captain America Civil War for you." That's so sweet. "It looks fantastic. Tony's friend line hit the feels. It just reminded me of how our relationship can build and last or fall apart. I love questions of loyalty."
Agreed.
I feel like someone else needs to get this next one because I have no idea to what it is in reference.
Okay.
It's making me very confused.
Okay, my Elizabeth says, "That surprise cap during the Doctor Who discussion made me jump AF. I can't say that because we try not to swear on the show. So, yeah, basically what I did, that was a little random. I think Kyle, we were talking about Doctor Who, and Kyle just went and spoiled the biggest plot development in Doctor Who history. And I was like, you can't just drop that in there. So I just was like, how am I going to bleep this out? And I decided that "he was my friend" from Steve was a perfect thing to disguise what he said.
Oh my god.
I didn't even know you had done that. That's great.
I'll have to go back. Can we use that from now on if like anyone swears on the podcast or anything?
I agree. Yes. He was their friend.
Oh my god, that's amazing. Alright, well, I'll get this next one from Sarah, who says, "Predicting Stucky to be as big of a heartbreak as Mirtha. I want the heartache, but I also do not want the heartache." And I think we're all with you on that one.
It's such a perfect parallel. It's almost too perfect.
Yeah, I wonder if they're Merlin fans.
I think they must be. It would explain a lot, actually. Is Pam? Yeah.
I guess. I got a little confused because we've had an order, but I'll go next. Carolyn says, "Your Hamilton special is making me so happy right now. I'm so glad you're all as geeky about it as I am."
Awesome. And the final comment comes from Janeth, who says, "Just got done listening to the Mockingjay special and had to comment on a few things. One, Jennifer Lawrence also can't whistle. They had to dub the whistling for her. So for those of you who can't either, you're in good company." Oh my God.
You guys, this is amazing. She's our fourth best friend.
She must. Yes. Yeah. So see, you do have something in common.
Yes. Yeah.
Someone tell her. She can come in.
Celebratory whistle. Yeah. That was for you, Jen.
She can whoosh with us.
She can. Yes. All right. And the second thing she has to say is, "I agree with the person who didn't cry over Prim and Finnick. I think that was me. I expected to cry over at, okay, I'm too tired. I expected to at least cry over Finnick because he's one of my favorite characters, but I didn't even shed a tear." Yeah, we talked a little bit about that. And three, how did no one mention the Asian baby? I was so distracted during the epilogue by the fact that the baby Katniss was holding looked Asian that my friend and I couldn't stop talking about it after the movie. Anyway, still enjoyed the movie. Action was great, and sorry for all the tweets.
I didn't notice.
I guess we just don't see race.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like no baby is a bad baby after you've seen American Sniper.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't notice that at all, but I don't know. I was too busy looking at the other kid, the happy one.
And also at Katniss's really fake wig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she looks so medicated and stuff.
Yeah. She was so doped up. I was like, the Jess Hutchinson is so cute.
I was looking up like just to see if I could find it on Google. And if you like, don't do it now. But if you Google Mockingjay baby, you get all of these mashups of Katniss with random babies. I don't think that's like what.
I feel like somebody wrote in and we maybe missed it and said that the little boy was actually Jennifer Lawrence's nephew.
Oh, really? That's cute.
Yeah, I feel like we got a comment about that, and we just missed her. Maybe I read it somewhere else, but I'm pretty sure it was a comment on the last episode on Hypeable.
Hmm. Wow.
So,
well, that's fun.
A fun little tidbit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Interesting observation, I guess. But thank you for all of those comments. And if you guys want to hype, you know, write in your thoughts on Katniss's baby or anything else we've talked about today, then you can. Huh?
On Buffy.
Oh, on Buffy, of course. I was like, there was an incoherent cry. Like, ah. Yes, of course.
My war cry.
I'm like, all this episode, I have been like holding myself back from going into a huge Buffy discussion because I have so much to say. So this is going to be a fun show. We're recording, as I said, on Saturday. So all of you guys who have thoughts on Buffy, send them in to us. And it should be a really good discussion, and this is going to be like all spoilers, so don't listen to it if you haven't watched Buffy yet, but do listen to it if you really want to get a sense of what we feel about the show overall, and if you really want to listen to someone else debate everything we love about the show, because once we go into rewatchable, I mean, we're not going to talk about spoilers because we have the newbies. So if you haven't watched Buffy yet, this is a great chance to get into it because you can watch it along with us. And if you have watched Buffy, then you can also listen because obviously half of the panel has, and we're just listening to people experience it for the first time, and we're sort of re-experiencing it and trying to see it with fresh eyes. So that should be a lot of fun for everyone. And if you haven't yet, then go and, because of course you should be subscribed to Hype on iTunes so you always get the latest episode and you don't miss it because of a tweet or on Hypeable's front page. And you should also go and subscribe to Rewatchable. They're just wrapping up their Legend of Korra discussion now. They've been rewatching that show, and we're gonna start doing Buffy later this month. So make sure you're subscribed so you're ready to go with us. We are excited for that. It is. And you'll get more information about that on our Buffy special too. And if there's, please do send us in your thoughts as well, because we could talk about everything. You know, we could talk about the love triangle. We could talk about the female characters. We could talk about Giles. We could talk about
spend the whole time talking
villains.
About Xander's lack of character development.
Exactly. Like me and Marima already did.
Yeah.
We'll release our tweets as like a novel and like on tweets on Xander. That'll be, text on Xander. There you go.
Yeah. Coming to bookstores near you.
Exactly, yeah. And but so please do send us in your thoughts on what you particularly would like us to discuss, because we need some help narrowing it down, I think. But until next, and obviously next week we'll be back with another regular show as usual. So you can also send in your thoughts for that. You can do that either by going on hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. You can tweet us at hypeablehype, and you can send more lengthy comments to our email, which is hype@hypeable.com. That's hype@hypeable.com. And that's the end of the show. Have a great week, everyone. Happy December. I hope that Santa leaves nice things in your stockings if you have those. And if you don't, then I hope you go and buy yourself some chocolate. Because why not? My name is Selena.
My name is Pamela.
And I'm Marima.
Whoosh! Chuck. What is that?
a hypeable
sign off now. Yeah, it's
our signal. It's our bat signal. It's like any time of year.
Yeah, the signal that you can't hear because it's not a whistle. Oh, I'm gonna be over this. Oh my god,
I can't believe J Lo is one of us.
She is one of us. It makes sense though because like we're cool and she's cool and we would totally be best friends.
Yeah,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah. But we'd never be able to find each other in a crowd.